Welcome, welcome, everyone. We're back, Jack of No Trades. We have a special love edition of the podcast. Tay, what's up, man?
I'm good. I am excited for this podcast. It's one of my least favorite holidays of the year in Valentine's, and so I'm really excited to show you why it's a shitty holiday. So,
and no one better to help us learn about Valentine's Day and love and all things relationship than Ren, the star of our previous dating podcast. Welcome back.
I was the star.
You were.
Not the guest star, the star. Thank you. I'm glad to be back. Always a pleasure.
You really were. We actually got an email that someone said you had a lovely voice and excellent opinions. So
your mom wrote that.
I swear to you, it was someone else. Kid you not. So
all right.
That's high praise. We don't get a lot of emails around here, so take it in stride.
I feel good about it. Well, thank you to whoever you email or.
So, yeah, Valentine's Day. This is a conflicting holiday. It's got a murky history, I think. People have their opinions on it. Ren, what's your gut reaction when you hear Valentine's Day? Do you get excited? Are you bummed out?
Well,
what's up?
I'm a girl, so I think there's part of me that can't quite hate it entirely. Part of me is like, it's Valentine's Day, but every year it's just shitty. Like, I've never had like a great Valentine's Day. So I don't know. It's conflicting even in my own life, even in my own personal experience with it.
But yeah. Well, there's got to be something nice about potential multiple men giving you free stuff, right? It's always on the table with Valentine's Day. You never know.
That's true. It's usually just my mom, but
hey, moms do a great job with Valentine's Day. So
my mom does. She has this little thing where she always will knock on the door and leave a present, like some random person left it.
Aw.
But it's always funny because I see her running away. Like, she knows that I can see her running. Like, it wasn't me. But she's done that since we were kids, even when we were in high school and stuff. It was fun.
It's like Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Dang. All right. Well, that's a great tradition. What about you, Tay? What do you think? What comes to your gut?
I think fake. I think insincere, not genuine. That's what I think when I think Valentine's Day.
I'm going to guess you've never received a nice, heartfelt Valentine of any kind from anyone before. True or false?
Never. Oh. Never. Ooh. I guess I'm just a hard person to love.
Excuse me.
Maybe that's why I'm so hardened. I am the Grinch of Valentine's Day.
Ouch. You got a frosty little heart over there, buddy. Dang.
Yes, it's six sizes too small.
That's be
your heart?
Yes. Whoa. Wow. What's with you and small penises? Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's true. We never called out Ren for the micro penis stuff. She almost derailed the whole thing, the whole taken Christmas.
I didn't,
it almost was over.
I didn't write that.
I only got a few lines, so I just wanted to make myself heard. And yeah.
It felt so real in the moment. It felt like you were just cut me to the core. Boom. I know I was playing Brian, but it felt like a real insult.
It felt personal.
It did. That was hard. It was hard.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay, though.
Not that sorry.
It was a good laugh. We had a good laugh about it later when I was alone. I was like, it's not that small. I promise. Well, before we... Wow, where were we? I'm so consumed now with this.
We're talking about how my heart's too small, and then she said
the
penis is too small.
I didn't say that at all.
She implied it.
You took
she implied
that
it.
For what?
That's a good zing. So
have I shared that story on the pod?
What?
About those girls at the pizza parlor seeing my dick?
What?
You might have, but you've said it again, so now you gotta finish, I guess. Go ahead.
13-year-old Tay, he was at a church activity. Yes, I was a good Christian boy. we went down to the beach for a weekend, and on our way back, we stopped at this pizza parlor.
Uh-huh.
We're at this parlor, and I'm just going through puberty, getting in there, and I'm starting to flirt for the first time.
Try to mix and mingle in there?
Yes, I'm trying it, and my voice is still cracking, so... still not done, but So I'm standing facing these girls in a booth, and they're in the booth, and I'm trying to, you know, charm them with my jokes and my my nice basketball shoes I was wearing.
Nice moves.
And my transition glasses.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But then there's this kid named Joey, real douche clown, and he comes up from behind me and pantses me.
Oh, yeah?
And at first, I'm like, oh, it's just my shorts. It's fine.
Oh, no.
And then I look down, and I see little baby dick looking back
no.
up at me.
Oh.
And then I look at the girls, and all the girls have their hands over their mouths, like, because these are all good Christian girls, too, so they'd probably never seen a dick before either.
So they don't know how small it was. Come on, now.
Exactly. So
yeah, no reference.
I don't know what happened to those girls, but I was the first dick they saw, so.
How old were you exactly?
13.
Okay.
And so then I pulled up my pants, I walked outside, and I probably cried for like 20 minutes in the back parking lot where this employee was taking a smoke break just by myself.
God. That's a rough day. Shit.
Yeah.
Wow. But dude, from that angle, from the way you told the story, I bet it looked bigger than it was. You know, they were pretty close. So don't sell yourself short here.
Literally.
Yeah. It was pretty small. I'm just gonna say that. I know it was small. And I bet you they knew it was small. They're like, that is not what a penis is supposed
to
look like.
To be fair, it was soft, I'm assuming.
It was probably cold.
It was cold.
There's a lot of things, a lot of factors.
In a parlor?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Okay.
You didn't.
We're backing you up.
You didn't feel the breeze, though, when it came down initially? Like, you didn't?
Uh-uh.
No, boy.
No. I wore really loose boxers, so... Couldn't even tell.
Wow. Wow, dude. Well, that's a hard lesson to learn.
So, whoa. You know, maybe...
Did this happen on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
It might have been right around then, actually.
Shit.
Oh,
wow.
Maybe that's why...
Maybe. That makes sense.
Okay.
What a dark look into your psyche.
Over 10 years ago,
yeesh.
But, you know.
Wow. You've never felt more vulnerable, I'm sure. My goodness.
Oh, no, dude.
All right, well, what's...
I'm like Tobias. What, never nude.
What's the best experience you've had with Valentine's Day? And it can be as basic as somebody in third grade gave you a piece of candy that you like on the pre-made Star Wars card or whatever the hell you got. You have done something semi-good.
I'll let Ren go first.
Mine, like, as a child, my...
Or at all.
And it's... Well, I haven't had that many great adult experiences at all, so... Sure, childhood.
Fine.
But so my mom used to, we homemade all of our Valentines, and we just like destroyed Valentine's Day at school. Like I did a mic drop with every candy I dropped into people's box. It was like, eat this because your gift sucks and mine's amazing.
Nice.
You're like the salt meme guy.
Good for
you.
Yeah,
well, my mom, yeah, so my mom's a photographer, a professional photographer, and so she would put together, she'd take Valentine pictures of us. Looking back, everyone probably thought I was an asshole. Like, you're putting your face on our Valentine. Like, you're such a joke.
That is kind of douchey.
It is kind of douchey, but they were the cutest things ever. They were custom every year, and my mom made them for us, and then we put them on, like, bags of awesome candy, and it was great. It was, looking back now, totally douchey, and my mom, it was just her way of using free marketing. She used me. She exploited her child for Valentine's Day. Totally. But I still look at it with fond memories. So.
You're not going to want to hear this, but there's some creep out there who still has a picture
Ew,
of
shut
you.
Shut up!
Eesh.
From grade school. I guarantee it.
Actually, that might be true.
That's at least
dark.
One.
Yeah.
Yikes. Ew.
Gross.
But hey, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
All right, Tay, your turn.
I kind of like the grade school thing. Mm-hmm. The one thing I didn't like is when you're forced to give Valentine's to people you don't want to give Valentine's to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you didn't like being forced to be nice, huh?
And the homosexual aspect of giving Valentine's to other men.
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. It's a nice gesture. It's not a romantic gesture.
Yeah, it's a candy exchange.
Yeah. You wrote your name on a piece of paper, dude.
But, dude, when a girl gave me a Valentine, I thought it was really sweet.
You took it. You took these so literal.
Yeah. She loves me.
I'm giving my love to people I don't love, and that includes men that I don't love.
I always like going to the store with my mom and, you know, picking out my Valentine's for the year. You know, whether it was going to be basketball that year or, you know, I tried to stay away from the real nerdy stuff because I didn't want to get made fun of.
Tay was that kid that would like pull off all the candy off the piece of paper and shove it in his pockets and then throw the Valentine's away as he walked out the class door. Just shoved it in there and ran out the door.
Yeah. What? Why would I save those? Who saves those? You're an
My
idiot
wife.
If you save those.
Or a pedophile.
Wife
or a pedophile who wants to look at Ren
in
his bedroom late at night.
Oh, it's not.
You know it's true.
It was some kid that got it, so he aged with Ren, so therefore he's not a pedophile.
If you're looking at a child version of someone, you're still a pedophile.
Okay, all right, fair enough. We don't have to assume
like,
everyone's
example,
a pedophile.
For example, I can say Natalie now because she was on the pot, so everybody knows
yeah,
her.
Yeah, she's exposed.
If you were looking at pics of Natalie at age 7 and saying, dude, my wife's so hot.
Okay.
I'd say you're a pedophile.
I'm going to pull you off this track because it's going to only get worse from here. All right?
Okay.
You're right.
You started it.
I did not start it. I'm just saying. Yeah, it could just remind them of a time when we were all younger and innocent, and oh, weren't those nice times? The name of this podcast is going to be a cynic's take on Valentine's Day. So Taylor has gone full cynic on us and has taken every negative and horrible way any human being could be to this podcast. My goodness, I'm bummed out. All right.
It's only going to get worse.
Oh, jeez. I gave a girl roses in high school on Valentine's Day and
aww.
And she put me in the friend zone the next day, so that sucked.
Aww.
Yeah,
dude, you got Gordo'd.
Yeah,
and Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, I was a freaking Gordo, dude, just minus the Jufro. Without, well, I had kind of a Jufro without the curl.
Oh my god,
it was hard and it sucked, dude. But then when I was older in high school, it turned into a game of dating a girl up into my birthday, which was recent, the end of January. And then I had to dump her before Valentine's Day because then it got me off the hook. So that was the
move.
Gotta
save that money, dude.
That's right.
$100 bills, y'all.
Yeah, you got to get the birthday gift, but you got to avoid the Valentine's Day gift. So I brought it full circle. Screw girls. They suck. Can only break my heart for so long. Well, today's podcast, we want to talk about where Valentine's Day came from. And we figured no better place to educate people on Valentine's Day than this shitty podcast that mostly guys come on. So, Tay, give us a quick recap of Valentine's Day. What are its origins?
All right, so here's the talking points for today. So, doing a little bit of internet research, I found the origin of the holiday. So, it started around 500 AD, but it wasn't associated with romantic love until the 14th century.
Okay.
And so really the day comes from there's two guys named Valentine who are saints in the Catholic Church, and they both got killed on Valentine's Day.
Oh,
so
bummer.
Yeah. So the day was to honor them because they died for the church or whatever. So so that continued until the 14th century when a little guy, some of you may know, Geoffrey Chaucer. Now, this guy is a real asshole.
Okay.
This guy's that sappy, love-struck, romantic guy that, like, you hate in the movies. Who's like, come yonder from thy balcony, dear madam, and caress me with your beautiful locks and your supple body. All that shit, that comes from Geoffrey Chaucer.
Oh my god!
And his dumbass poetry buddies. bunch of other, who just wrote all these, I'm not going to say gay, because we're PC on this podcast. But gay poems. About lovebirds and King Charles mating with the queen. All this gay shit. And from that point on, people are like, let's send each other notes that say we love each other.
Yes.
So, some famous references to Valentine's Day from a long time ago. Shakespeare's Hamlet is referenced by the character Ophelia. You know the poem, roses are red, violets are blue.
Yes.
My penis is small, but so are you. that came from 1590 is when that poem was written.
Oh, okay.
And here's a little bit of stats about Valentine's Day in the United States. So excluding schools, 190 million Valentines are sent each year in
what?
The United States.
That's not schools.
Including schools, it's up to 1 billion.
Jeez.
That's a lot of paper.
And the average American on Valentine's Day spends $130 a year.
You should not be sharing these statistics. You know that any girl who's listening to this podcast is going to write these, find these stats.
Yikes.
Like, honey.
Yikes.
What the hell? What the hell, man?
Well, if she is with me, she knows I hate Valentine's Day already.
You got $50 more to spend, you little bitch. Get
exactly.
out there and buy me some chocolate.
So I think we're going to talk a lot about gifts on this, right? Like, that's one of the big topics. So I'll save that for later, my opinion on that. But yeah, that's the history of Valentine's Day in 5 minutes or less.
Wow. Wow. So it's got pretty average, humble beginnings, I would say, right? When did it get, like, full-blown in America as popular as it is? Has it been over the last century?
It's always been. It was popular in 1700s England.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Huh.
So people, they'd send each other flowers and chocolate. And
wait, so let me try to understand your disdain toward it.
Like, yeah.
What is so fundamentally wrong with a day where people just want to share, just send each other a little something-something to say, hey,
yeah.
thinking of you. Love you.
I actually gained respect for Valentine's Day hearing your description of it. You know,
why? Because it's so old?
Yeah, it's actually a legit tradition.
Well.
Yeah, it's not a Hallmark holiday.
I really thought it was until you told me this. Wow, I'm pro Valentine's Day right now.
We're turning against you, Jalen.
This sucks for you, dude.
It's just the fact that I don't think you need a day to show someone you care.
Mm.
That's my thing. It shouldn't be rote. You shouldn't feel obligated.
You have every day to show someone you don't care, right? So why screw it up?
Exactly. It's just the obligatory nature of it. It's like around Christmas, right? It's customary to give each other gifts.
You ain't complaining about
obligated.
Christmas.
People feel obligated to give someone a gift when they receive a gift. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's how it should be.
Except girls that put you in the friend zone.
Well, the friend zone's a whole other story. But,
that's another podcast.
Yeah. That's a whole season of podcasts. But yeah, it's the obligatory nature of the holiday.
Mm.
And I think that corporate America has kind of gone rampant with it.
Sure.
Where if they say you don't spend lots of money on your significant other, then you don't care about them. And I don't think that's true.
Okay. Ren, what's your feeling hearing Taylor say that? That it's obligatory. Does it diminish a good gesture towards you if it comes on Valentine's Day?
Think so. I mean, I guess if you never do anything nice for anyone ever other than Valentine's Day.
My one
but,
day.
I mean, yeah, but I don't think it needs to be some like crazy. I mean, like that average $130 on a Valentine's gift, that's a little crazy.
Seems
to me.
Seems expensive.
I think you could give someone a note, and I mean, if it is, even if it's someone you're married to or you're dating, I don't think it needs to be that.
But it adds up quick, right? I mean, you got dinner. Depending where you go.
Do you need to do that? I guess you're right. You're right.
Then you buy them flowers. Then you buy them a gift. Okay. It adds up quick.
I hear you.
Flowers aren't cheap.
Yeah. I would say the dating sphere of Valentine's Day, it is very male-centered, right? And that's not to say that girls don't contribute and get their men gifts. But most times it's like, oh, I bought you chocolate or I bought you this movie. Where guys, it is expected, like, I'm going to take you out to dinner and I'm going to do this and we're going to do that. And you know, so, but when you're married, that it equalizes 100%. I'll tell you that much. So you got light on the end of the tunnel, guys. If you can just get to marriage, then you'll both hate Valentine's Day the same or love it equally, depending on your marriage.
All right.
So,
you know, part of me like is enticed by the Jehovah Witnesses because they don't celebrate holidays.
That's the worst part about them. Sorry, any J-dubs really that is. Listen to us.
Yeah, for sure.
Not to bash, I think but it's like cool. That's the saddest thing is that they don't have any holidays. What do you do?
No, like or even like I mean my sister had a really really close friend who was a Jehovah's Witness and she was super cool. She wasn't weird. Everything was great, but she couldn't come to like Avery was like, "Okay, like we're not it's not my birthday party. Like we're just going boating with people. Like please just come." And she's like, "But it's your birthday. It's your birthday party." I can't come.
You just sneak like, so, everything. Oh no.
Yeah. For real.
Ay. Well, yikes. Well, Valentine's Day isn't a real holiday. You don't get work off. But I guess it's still, you celebrate something, right? Well, which is the point.
The history, it's a pretty old holiday.
Yeah, I guess
dude.
So. Dang. I'm not going to look at this the same. So, where do you guys feel on the spectrum? And this might be a love language question, but on the spectrum of receiving a gift as a form of love. Do you feel love when you get a gift, or are you kind of like, "Ah, oh, that's cool," or are you kind of like, "Oh no, somebody expects something of me now when you get a gift"? Or you?
So, for me, this is a weird one because I like the love language that I speak most often would definitely be gifts. I love leaving little things for people, notes. Christmas is my favorite. Mm. I love giving gifts. It's something I really, really enjoy. But when I get a gift, it almost well. I guess when people just leave me nice notes and stuff, I really love that. But if I receive a gift, it kind of makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it's odd. I really enjoy giving, but I'm kind of weird about receiving gifts. I don't know.
That makes sense. No, I think that's a normal thing.
Okay.
Because I feel like receiving a gift, you feel indebted in some way, uh-huh. whether or not yeah. – and I know Tay will agree with this. Because I know if you do something for Tay, he's keeping a running balance. He's like, "You spent $6 on me. Do I got to pay you back $6 or do I need to buy you something $6? Like, what are we going to resolve this issue?" So
I'm a transactional person. That's true.
So he's always swapping things. Tay, what about you? Do you feel the same way?
Let me start off on the premise is I'm not sure if I can feel love. but I took the love language test because I figured it'd be good to know. So my top love language is words of affirmation, which is probably because of the small penis incident.
It's not that small.
You're great. You're great. It's not that small. You're great. You're fine. You're fine. I just need to hear that. Gifts is actually one of my lowest. And I think that's because I'm not a real sentimental person. Mm. So like if someone gives me a piece of shit, but says this came from me. Like something cheap or whatever, I'm not gonna care, you know? Like, I'm not gonna save it. I'm gonna get rid of it. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. It's not the gesture. Like, if someone got me, like, a really big gift, if Ren bought me a car, I might cry. Maybe. Probably not, but maybe. But, like, that's because I understand the gesture. So I guess you can quantify your care and love for me.
So think about that, okay? That Ren, all things remaining equal, I'm assuming Ren didn't just win the Powerball. Ren didn't just step into an executive position where she's going to make $500K a year. And Ren buys you a car and goes, "Tay, here's a car. It's yours. There you go. No strings attached. I just wanted to show you how much I care as a friend." What do you feel about that, Taylor?
I'm actually a little pissed off at first because I'm like, how do I repay her?
Exactly.
Or settle the score.
you would think she has some ulterior motive, right?
I'd have to put a down payment on a house for her.
To even it out.
Yeah. I would feel terrible. I may not accept it if she was like a celebrity and like had millions of dollars and she bought me a $20,000 car, I'd probably feel a little bit better. But if she was a hardworking girl and she spent $20,000 on a car for me, that'd be awful.
So I feel like Valentine's Day in some situations, it's on a smaller scale, but people buy things for other people and it puts them in that predicament where they're like, "Oh gosh." And that's where like you get guys, douchebags, spending all this money on a chick expecting her to put out, you know? You know, and that's kind of where
it's like prostitution.
Kind of. It's kind of like you're like, I did all this for you. This is what I expect. And that's why there's such a fine line in gift giving of not pushing
it. Some girls are all for that, though.
Well, some girls will take it all, right? And they don't feel guilty, and they don't need to put out or do anything. They'll just, yeah, great. Thank you. Thank you. You're great. So as a guy, I feel like you always have to find that line where you're giving a gift that's meaningful. It's not too pretentious or precocious. You're not pushing them anywhere, you know, where they can just accept it openly, right? Someone that has a normal job and a normal salary buying you a car is like completely disproportionate to the friendship or relationship, you know?
Right.
So you're saying the gift needs to equal the level of,
exactly,
I guess, the level of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's got to reciprocate. So if one person cares a lot more about the other, then it probably will scare that person off.
Right.
I've seen that, not personally, but I've seen people that do that. They buy too much crap for their girl, and then the girl runs off because it was just too much.
Too much too soon.
Yeah.
Do you have any cases, Ren, where you've seen like a friend of yours like just get way too much stuff? It doesn't have to be Valentine's Day, but just like in a situation and her just be like, oh shit, I'm out.
Yeah, well, I've even had that just in high school where a guy, it's funny, it actually was kind of connected to Valentine's Day. We were sort of dating, and he,
sort of.
I don't know. It was that, you know, it's that before you're actually dating stage, whatever.
Very crucial moment.
Yeah, I got him Buffalo Wild Wings for lunch on Valentine's Day. I was like, this is my Valentine's
Classy.
Day. And then I think he felt like, oh my gosh, I have to get her something now. And so for the next, 3 weeks, he would bring me stuff every single day.
Oh,
and
no.
And I was like, dude, it's too much. It's too much. Like, no. And it just freaked me out.
Oh, no.
So maybe that was my own fault for doing any sort of gesture on Valentine's Day, but I don't know.
At least go one for one. Go get you a Zupa's salad and bring it to lunch the next day, you know?
No, he'd just show up at my house, unannounced, here's a Mountain Dew and a Kit Kat bar. I love both those things, but you can go now.
Trying to give you diabetes if you haven't noticed. See ya.
That's the thing, though. It's like, I think girls are just inherently, they'll just do things out of, sweetness, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, even though they're not, interested at all romantically, but, men, when they give a woman a gift, it's always romantically, or they're in the friend zone. It's one or the other. So if they receive a gift from a girl, they're like, oh, she's into me. Mm-hmm. So then they go too hard.
Go too hard. Yeah. So be careful with your gift giving this season, people. It can derail some things for you if you take it the wrong way. My advice. I guess for me, it gets to the point of how much do material things play a part in your relationship, you know? Because rarely can anyone buy me anything where I'd be like, oh, I know you love me now or you like me now, you know? I think the notes and stuff go further than.
That's what I was going to say. I think that it's always better to do something simple and then do a nice note. Try to go more towards sentiment because then no one feels awkward if you do get someone a really nice gift and then they got you something. They're like, oh, this does not line up. We were not on the same page. So if you can just establish no, we're not going to spend a ton of money on each other, then do something little.
That never works, though.
I think so. No, you can literally be like, okay, we've got a $20 cap and then, you know.
Yeah.
You do notes and stuff. I think that that's fair.
Yeah. I think you're right. It can be a trick sometimes, though, because you're like, all right, we're deciding we're only going to spend $20 each. That's good, right? That's good, right? And then you do the $20 cap, and then they're like, oh.
That's it?
I'm only worth $20 to you? I'm not worth the
little
extra?
Oh, no.
It's a trick. It's a trick.
I don't think so. That's crazy. If a girl was straight up like, hey, I don't want you to – if you're dating a girl, she was like, I don't – let's do $20. That's the most. You would feel that way? You'd be like, for real?
$20? I would spend more than $20 if I liked her. I don't gamble with that. I just don't tell her it was more than $20.
Okay. See, that's where you get in trouble, though.
You get the $50 gift card, and you're like, oh, I didn't spend $120. Got it on discount, bro.
I got it discounted heavy.
It was on sale.
This is actually a Groupon. That's not how Groupons work. Oh, yeah.
60% discount.
Jeez.
It actually would be, but yeah.
My thought, though, cool. And this is like a really like a really small issue with Valentine's Day, but it's actually I'm totally cool with doing something around Valentine's Day to show the person you love, like, oh, I love you. But doing it on Valentine's Day feels so much more expensive and so much more like inconvenient. Like, I'd love to do it the day before or the day after, you know? Like, I just feel like you get a better rate on everything.
Dude, I heard from a buddy, from David actually, that restaurants will raise their prices.
Absolutely.
On Valentine's Day. Bullshit. That's why it's a crap holiday.
You rush to get the flowers, right? Because no one plans ahead. And you get the flowers the day before or the day of, and they're going to be double what you'd pay the next day, you know? So it's for me, it's like, oh, can we just wait one day? You know, just to buck the social, the capitalist trend of America, you know? But
well, going back to the history, there's nothing significant about February 14th. That's just a guess.
When did that start?
Like, I don't think the actual day became a thing till like the 1700s or 1800s. Hmm. That was just a day they picked. Just sometime in February.
Weird. Well, okay, so we said that notes are a great way to convey love. What's one of the worst ways you could scare somebody off as far as a gesture goes of your affection for them? If you just want to freak them out. Do you guys like, have any good stories for this?
Like a hypothetical, or you want real stuff?
I got a real one.
All right, then
you start.
Tell your real one.
Somebody, I think my wife told me this. She knew a kid in high school that was obsessed with one of her friends. And this kid was just like a freaking weirdo. And so he made this like mixtape for her. And
so romantic.
He would.
I love that.
But it was like a creepy mixtape, I guess. And he'd always make sure she was listening to it like every day.
Oh my gosh.
All the time. And he'd like check and just be like, are you listening to it? And she'd be like, no, I don't have it with me. And he'd be like, why don't you have it? And he'd ask like every day. And I don't remember what this kid did. But he's in prison now, and it was something like predatory related, not with that exact girl, but in the vicinity of something like that, where he wouldn't leave girl alone. And I thought, yeah, mixtapes when you got like a friend or your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, and you're like, oh, listen to this, that's cool. And then you can, when you get dumped, you can listen to that mixtape and cry, and be like, oh, the times we had. But if it's your own.
But was this a mixtape, though, where, like, it's not just, like, now where you'd make someone a mix CD and there's some songs on. This was a mixtape where, like, in between every song, he was like, hey, baby, this next one's for this reason.
Yeah, I think there was some talking. I think there was some talking on the between that didn't make her want to listen to it more often, I guess you could say. Okay. So.
Because, honestly, I love the gesture of a mixtape, even from friends, whatever. That's great. But, yeah, I guess if it had some of the talking.
Did it start with, every breath you take?
Yes. Every stalker theme song.
I'll be watching you.
Yep. It had everyone. It's just on repeat.
And then it went to Jesse's Girl.
Everyone. It just They were all there.
Then it went to Hello by Lionel Richie.
Oh, my gosh.
Just
Dude, I can make a predatory mixtape.
Can ya?
Yeah.
Is this all the music you listen to?
It is. Those are all on my iPod.
That's just most 80s new wave music.
Yes.
Good
Which
point.
Is my favorite era, to be fair, to be honest. But yeah, it is mostly.
She likes The Cure. That
The Cure's my favorite
Lame.
Band. Don't say they're lame. I'll punch you right out of this podcast.
Boom. The Smiths. She likes to slit her wrists when she listens to music.
Oh my gosh, stop. I like the essence of slitting my wrists to music. I don't actually do it.
The Smiths are good when you're just like, you're feeling sad. You're just like, I want to sing
about
sad things.
You're thinking
about
walking out in front of that train? Yeah, exactly.
No, so my little sister went to the Smiths concert. It was just a little while back. And my mom went with her, my mom's boyfriend, and they started playing the song Meat is Murder. Apparently, they just play brutal videos. It's like a freaking PETA ad him as he's singing. Just brutal, like animals just getting just very, very violently and graphically killed. And at one point, my mom's boyfriend walked out. He had to leave. And my sister telling me this story, and all I could say was, what a pussy. Are you freaking kidding me?
Hey, thank you for saying
one
it.
Day.
I hope so too.
What a pussy.
Meat is murder. Like, I was so annoyed. But yeah, I love that kind of music. We're getting on a little bit of a tangent here.
Little bit.
Back.
Come on, you guys got to have some stories of some weirdos from high school that just push the envelope.
I know my friend, and this is a, I mean, it was fun because they were very seriously dating. I mean, this was a couple that got together in eighth grade, and they're still together now. But one...
It's ninth grade now.
but no, one year, he got her a pillow with his face on it.
Oh, gosh.
And she was like, this is so cute. And I was like, that is the scariest shit I've ever seen. I don't care if you are a spouse. Like, it doesn't matter. That's creepy.
Flip that thing over.
Yeah, for real. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's...
Putting pictures of yourself on anything other than pictures is weird. Like,
what about
like
mugs?
Fabric?
Mugs.
Or clothes? Or mugs? No.
I think mugs,
no.
You can close the door on a mug.
Maybe your little kid, like a baby photo of your kid.
Oh, my gosh.
It's weird.
I think it's David Spade. He has a little comedy special, and he talks about how his mom made him a shirt one year. It's just a picture of him on his shirt.
What?
And she made him wear it to school. And he's like, so that you'd know that this guy was this guy. Yeah. It's so great. It's a good one. Watch it if you've got time.
Because he gets lost in the mirror. He's like, I need two examples of this face to know which is mine.
Exactly.
Wow. Tay, what about you, man? If you really wanted to freak a girl out and just sever all ties with a romantic gesture, what would you do?
This is what I would do. One, you take her on a date that's much longer than she anticipates.
Oh, gosh. Is it on a boat?
So like,
is there an implication?
No boat.
Okay.
So I actually have heard a story of this, of a friend of mine. Apparently, he took a girl on this date, told her it was going to be like an hour or two. But then it ended up being like 6 hours, and they went out to the middle of the nowhere to these like hot springs or something.
Oh, no.
And like they had to like hike for like 3 miles to get to him.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the night.
30 miles?
Like three.
Oh, okay. They 3. Said 30. I was like, that's a little exaggerated.
And it was this was like a first date, like a casual date.
Gosh.
Like,
can we talk about that? Maybe this is just a cultural thing depending on where you live, but guys feel that they have to, I feel like, plan an entire day. They ask a girl on a date, and it can't just be I'll pick you up at 7 and go on a date. They have to plan a whole
no
day
oh oh Ben is notorious for that.
Oh my
no
gosh.
I'm not.
Yes you are.
For a first date.
Let me tell you a first date Ben had.
No, this is gonna be fake. It was not a first date, I promise you. Go ahead.
Okay, it was a date, and it was with a really dumb girl. The only girl that me and Ben
oh we've already told
this
story.
I know who it is.
We already told this story.
Okay.
With the fortune cookie.
Right. You went golfing, then dinner, then a movie.
Okay.
That's a whole freaking day.
No,
that's
it wasn't.
That's a long time.
It's okay. Think of it this way. You start, because it started at 6. The golfing lasted a half hour, literally lasted a half hour. Dinner lasted an hour, and then the movie happened. And the movie was because she pushed it.
That's a 4-hour date.
It was too long. You're right. But the first date needs to be an hour to 2 hours. You just need to feel each other out and just see if you have chemistry and have something to look forward to.
I don't know. I feel like an hour max, you can extend it if you're liking each other. But an hour gives you enough time to know, like, okay, this is a definite no. Or, like, I'd go on another date.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
If it is a date where it's a definite no, you do not want to be there for more than an hour. That blows.
Generally, I think people that actually do go on a formal date know each other better than a first interaction, you know?
Right.
I think most of the time.
It's like pushing a drug, right? You want to leave them wanting for more. You don't want to show them the whole picture, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it depends, because I agree with you, Ren, because it should be short. The first date definitely should be short. A full date or anything that's expanding, that you're right, Tara. That date did go too long.
You're a notorious long dater. I will.
What are you talking about?
You love the dinners and movies and then talking. You love the 4 or 5 hour date.
Oh my
gosh.
That is,
you are not a quick dater.
I feel like I'm getting shanghaied here.
All right. But I interrupted your story about this kid taking the.
Anyway, well, it's almost over. They didn't get home till like 4 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
I've never done that before. Come on.
That's crazy. Like, that stuff's nuts. Or like if you convinced a girl to go on a trip with you, like, after knowing her for, like, a week, that'd be a little weird, too.
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready to rant about this publicly, and this is a little off topic, but if you are in a freaking relationship, these are two things you can't do. First thing you can't do is you can never order for the other person. And I'm not saying, like, you tell the person, like, the waiter or waitress, like, what that person wants because they already told you. I'm talking about, like, no. She's going to have a salad. That's what she's having. Okay? That should never happen ever in any situation ever. Okay?
Yeah.
And number two, you should never sit on the same side of the table or booth. You assholes.
Yes. Yes.
The only time you can do that, the only time you can do that is if you have a view of something that could not be missed and you, like, you have the game on or there's a beautiful, perfect substitute.
Or you're doubling and you're sitting across from the other couple.
No, obviously that's not even that situation. It's just one-on-one. The couple should not be sitting on the same side. If you're sharing food, you can share food better looking at each other than you can if you're sitting on the same side of the booth. It sucks. And it's uncomfortable. You make everyone uncomfortable.
I think Ren's a side sitter because she's kind of giving you, like, a disagreement.
I hurt her feelings.
But it's nice. Like, I've had a couple times where that's great. But you do have to be pretty involved with that person. Like, that's not a first date thing. Like, I want to sit next to you.
Well, it's even worse when they're, like, bodies are interlocking.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know where one person ends, one person starts.
Nothing worse being at an Arby's and somebody tongue deep in each other between
yes,
the freaking
some roast beef into roast her
beef
gullet.
And cheddar. Oh my gosh, you're making everyone uncomfortable.
Oh. Okay, fair enough. All right.
I'm just saying.
So side sitting. Stop it. No one wants to see that.
You too, Ren. I'm calling you out.
Okay.
No more side sitting.
No more side
you.
Sitting.
All right.
Never.
This evening. Never do it.
Unless you have the criteria. You have to actually have a reason besides just wanting to snuggle up to your freaking bae. All right. Just don't do it. All right. Sorry. I had to just get this out somewhere. I've been holding it in for a while, so it's been done.
There's one more thing I want to talk about before we wrap up.
Knock it out. Go.
It's the history of diamond engagement rings.
Ooh, all right.
Now, this is a really depressing tale.
Oh, boy.
So, the wholesale diamond company, De Beers. So, think of this
De
like...
De Beers.
Yeah. Dovers. Think of this like King Kong with Jack Black. Like, some dudes out in the wilderness, like, in the jungle.
Sure.
So, these dudes... They find these massive diamond mines in South Africa around 1890. They're like, what is this? These diamonds, there's so many. So what do? They create a cartel. And they control the entire supply of diamonds.
Okay.
So then, their diamond sales, they're not great. Up through 1937, 38, Great Depression. People didn't really do that back then. That wasn't a thing.
What do you do with them, you know?
Exactly. And people didn't know they were valuable. They were kind of a new thing. So De Beers hired an ad agency called N.W. Ayer during the Great Depression to help them associate diamonds with love.
Nice.
And specifically engagements. So what does Ayer do? They go to those bastards in Hollywood and... And they start spreading this idea through popular culture, through music and film. And they start having movie stars use diamond rings in their films, like when they get proposed to and stuff, to propagate the idea that diamonds are this grand gesture of love. Like, and then this is where everything changes. In the late 1940s, there was a copywriter working for N.W. Ayer who created the slogan, "A diamond is forever." And this is where everything changed because it had multiple ramifications. The biggest one is that this is genius because it dissuades people from selling their diamonds, like having a resale market. because they create this nostalgic. This is why people use their grandparents' diamond rings still, because you can't sell it, because it is symbolizing their eternal love, which is bullshit. It's just a rock. Gosh.
Yeah.
And so between 1939 and 1979, De Beers diamond sales in the United States went from $23 million to $2.1 billion.
Damn.
They destroyed and created a brand new market through advertising. Wow. Something that we didn't need and we didn't want, and they forced it on us. They tricked us.
But we did want it. We paid for it.
But we didn't want to
remember our love
and
diamonds.
They didn't stop there. They started attacking new markets and cultures that had no concept of diamond engagement rings. They went to Brazil, Japan, India, China. In Japan, they went from a society where it was like 3% of the population did diamond engagement rings to 60% of marriages. They created, I think that's because Japanese wanted to copy us, but
okay.
It's bullshit, dude. It's only been around since the 50s, the diamond ring thing. And I'm not buying it. I'm not going to spend $4,000 on a diamond ring. That's a waste of money. You wow. don't get your investment back. You don't get a return on it.
You get love, Taylor. You get love as your investment.
It's advertising. You can't put love into an object. That's all I'm saying.
All right, Ren, you don't got a ring on your finger yet, okay? How do you feel about diamond rings? Sorry. Hey, some people say that's a good thing. Don't got that old ball and chain.
Right. My feeling on diamond rings, well, they're pretty, so I mean, I like them. But no, I'll tell you a fun story. This is my grandma. My grandparents had the most, I mean, no marriage is perfect, but they had just that fairy tale thing you want, where you look at people and you're like, I want that so bad. Everything that they have, I want that. But she talked about how she got engaged to my grandpa, and she knew he was in school and he was poor. He didn't have a lot of money, and he wanted desperately to buy her a big diamond because he wanted everyone to. My grandma was quite the hottie.
Because he saw it in
baby.
The movies.
No.
Go ahead.
His reason was, he's like, I want people to know that she is off the freaking market. Because
good for him.
I mean, he couldn't get a date for her for 2 years. Like, he'd been asking literally every weekend for 2 years. She was booked up. And so he was like, nope, I want everyone to know. But she was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you get me a diamond? You don't have the money. That's stupid. It's just a rock. She was of that opinion. And so they went and got matching gold bands, paid, let's see, $12 for hers and $14 for his, because it was a little bit more gold, a little bit bigger. And that is all she ever had. She never expected more, never wanted more, and they had a beautiful marriage. So,
I support that.
Yeah,
lovely.
I do too. I think it's great. It's
that's
a beautiful
lovely.
Story. But I mean, if anyone wants to put like a big old, you know, 3-carat ring on me, I'm not gonna.
You're not gonna return it? You're not gonna take the car back? All right. It goes back to what we said earlier. When you give a gift, it has to match the level of the relationship. And so how do you show someone that you're willing to give your life to them, or want them to give their life to you, than with the sacrifice of something as expensive as a ring, as a diamond ring?
Maybe, yeah.
That's where the connection comes to.
Valid. Yeah.
Right?
I'm not buying it.
Taylor's
literally
stuck.
And figuratively.
And this is what every man will eventually have this realization, is that exactly that. Diamonds aren't actually rare, is the first problem, right?
Right.
They're not rare, but they are distributed like they are rare. We have access to them like they are rare.
And they have no utility.
And they do nothing for us rather than display wealth and affluence and love. Now, because they were freaking geniuses. Be real. If you could have been in their shoes, Taylor, you would have manipulated the frick out of America to do what they did with diamonds.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah. I have the ability as a consumer to choose not to buy into it. So I'm exercising that right.
I bought a ring for my wife, right, Natalie, and this is not one of my best moments as a person. And I actually proposed with this, like, sentiment.
Story.
I'm not going to tell the whole story because it's way too long. And
it's sweet, though.
It's too much. But I proposed with something that was just sentimental to start, because I knew I would never pick out a ring that she would actually want to wear. Okay? And the ring she ended up with is definitely not a ring I would have ever chosen. So we went to this friend of ours that designed rings, and we were talking about the stone. And I kind of said some things similar to what Taylor said about diamonds right before we were to go design the ring. And that upset Natalie pretty darn bad. Basically saying, well, I don't believe in freaking diamonds. Diamonds suck. They're freaking not even rare. You could get cubic zirconium or whatever, and it's the same thing, blah, blah, blah. And I was saying it like not trying to like get out of paying for something, but I was just saying it like an idiot, like a man does every day of his life, basically just saying things without thinking. So we went to go get the ring, and she felt like, oh, I can't choose a diamond. And so she chose a sapphire, which I think still looks beautiful, and it's clear, and you know, the normal guy wouldn't know the difference. But that's the ring she has. But later she told me, you really, you know, hurt my feelings, you know, shitting on rings like that or diamonds right before we were to buy a ring. And I was like, oh, damn it. You're right. That would come off like that. So here's the moral of the story. You can't win, Taylor. Own up to it. Buy a decent ring. Doesn't have to be, you know.
But I would say
a mortgage.
What you guys did was great because her ring's beautiful, and it's a good size, and honestly, yeah. I have no idea it wasn't a diamond. I've seen her ring. I would have thought it was a diamond. So I mean, yeah, just be smart about it. End up getting something that looks like a diamond, but you can get one way bigger than what you can afford.
That's the thing.
That's the way to do it.
I didn't break the bank as far as rings go, and I think she has a beautiful ring. She gets compliments on it all the time, and I know that's just like, I don't know if girls actually like each other's rings all the time, but you'll definitely tell each other to their face that they do, because I see what you guys say offline. But yeah, so to keep that in mind. And Ren, don't pressure guys to buy diamonds, but let them buy you a diamond. Just be gentle about it. Yeah. All
right. Just think of the poor Africans in the mines mining those diamonds. Just sad.
Just quick, what other industries capitalize on love? Using love as a medium to sell shit.
Disney.
That's true. That's fair.
Disney's the best at it because they hit you to your core of your existence as like your nostalgia as a human being. They just tap into it. You know?
And they talk about family so much. And yeah. So like the parents kind of reinforce it because they like that. Because they want to keep control over their children.
It works. Disney's a good market for that.
Dude, I sound like some like crazy right wing nut on here. Like, yeah, dude. Like almost fascist. Like the military industrial complex is bullshit, man. I guess it's more of a hippie than right wing, but
dude, you gotta balance yourself out, man.
I know.
Tate, say some things you love real quick and then we'll wrap up the pod. We just need to end on a happy note.
Say some things I love?
Yeah, what do you love? Three things. Three real things. Don't do it. I love my family, I love my friends, and I love my life.
Dude, I love a good chicken strip. I do.
That's a good start. Okay.
Let's see. I love in college when I finish my computer test and the score says above 90%. I love that.
Wow.
Because then I'm like, dang, I'm smart.
Humble brag.
Yeah. And let's see. I love learning a new chord on a guitar. Dude, that I couldn't play before.
You just went 2 for 3 for douchey comments. You said how smart you were. Yeah, I love pounded 90s on computer exams. And then 3, I love showing off to chicks with these chords I learned, brah. Wow.
Dude, it was a douchey question, so you got douchey answers.
Those are good.
It's okay, Tay. We're just giving you a hard time. We'll keep you. You can stay in the pod. We still love you on here. Jack and no trades. Plus, you're the only one that knows how to upload it to the site.
Exactly.
Podcast goes nowhere without Tay. Well, Ren, we wish you a very happy Valentine's Day. Thank you so much for coming on. We love your opinions. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. I love being here. It's always fun.
Any advice for our male audience? Because yes. It's primarily male.
As far as dating, honestly, I mean, we make fun of those guys that go too big and it's creepy and you get friend zoned. But it's better to just take a risk and hope that it works out than to never do anything at all. Like, you're in no worse position than you were before if you don't. You know, if you take a risk and it blows up in your face, then you're still not with that person. So, like, you're in the same place. But you could take a risk. You could do something small and nice, and it could end up, you know, being the person you end up with forever. So, be Boom. Bold.
Yeah. There you go. There you go, people. Have a little faith. Be bold. Good things will happen for you. Tay, thanks for your cynical point of view. Valentine's Day will still happen whether or not you endorse it and love it. So just remember that. So try and have some fun with it.
Okay, maybe I'll give someone a paper Valentine. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be cute.
Yeah.
There you go.
Maybe. Put a little Highly candy unlikely, on it. But maybe.
Get a bunch of LeBron James Valentines and just give them out to everybody. That'd be fun for you.
Golden State fans, it'd be great.
Oh, see, look at you. Embracing the spirit. Well, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Have a great day. Hopefully you guys can show your love and make love and do all the things you want to. We wish you the best. Until next week, we'll talk to you later. Peace.